This is our second mentoring session in our program. And I can't believe how quickly this is going by, but each one of you is doing such committed practice along the way. I really meant what I said that in the email that you're coming along beautifully and each according to their own path. And I think you're finding out that being a facilitator, you're in a position to learn so much more about yourself than you ever thought you would, and that you're confronted with your authenticity and your clarity and commitment throughout your daily life. It's something that you can't forget and just come back to when you're going to facilitate a ceremony. So when you are a ceremonial facilitator, it becomes your life. Are some of you finding that out? Are you seeing that? You can
Yes,
talk.
yeah, absolutely, for sure.
Yeah, Sarah, it's Lisa. I'm not so much feeling that it's in regard to the facilitation piece, but what you said is so true that every document that you create, all the words just penetrate deeply, and it just penetrates into the life and into my moment-to-moment awareness. And I feel as if all of that almost has to be let go of when facilitating, and then that to me is something that is up to the divine beings. To really make it clear if that's the direction to go or not. But the self-reflection, the self-awareness, the experiences that are happening are all due to the deep dive of this program.
Wonderful. Yes. And remember, I've said at times it's very sobering. It's very sobering. And still continues to be sobering for me every day. Not without my joy and everything I enjoy to do, but really takes precedence over everything. In a beautiful way, a meaningful way. It brings a lot of meaning to life. Actually, it's the way I receive meaning in my life. What else are we finding out? That's
It's
kind of your
Ken.
okay,
Oh,
Ken.
yeah. I just said every communication becomes a ceremony. And I'm aware of that. Whether it's communion with nature, just talking to a stranger, talking to a friend, or whatever, it all feels like ceremony and a commitment to a greater good.
Nicely put.
It's Fran, and this training and the resultant shifts within me and the way I live have permeated my life in a way that I had no real idea of when I signed up. I mean, sure, I could imagine, more time commitment and more attention to grounding and whatever the list would be, yet this has permeated my life in a very beautiful way that I did not foresee.
Yeah, there is no way that you could.
Yeah, that's my sense, yes.
Yeah. The blessing of actually being able to be in this training, and it's not because I'm providing the blessing, it's because our teachers are providing the blessing and the space for this and the power behind it. They are creating very powerful transformational space to ensure that they have representatives here on Earth to reflect the purity and light of the teachings.
Sarah, this is Carolyn. I think I shared in the comments about being on a rafting trip in the wilderness and experiencing just the complete healing capability of being connected with Mother Earth and with nature and just the ease around it. So that was very significant for me.
Yeah, it sounded like it in your post. Did you feel like you had more subtle connections going on with this experience? Like you were more aware of your connection, or was it just being in nature?
No, it was the being aware, because I've been in nature a lot. It was the connection. It was being held. It was a sense of community, a communing, and like just the oneness that all I needed to do was I was in the thick of it, just being tended to.
And now, with the relief of your symptoms from the long COVID, you can get a reference point for how much living energy you need, like the state you need to live at to get beyond those symptoms.
I don't think I'm getting what you're saying.
So during this trip, you had a really good dose of living energy.
Yes.
And with that dose of living energy, it quieted all the symptoms of your long COVID, right?
Yes.
And so what that does is it gives you a reference point for how much connection you need to have
Ah.
to the living energies to begin the process of healing that long COVID.
Got it.
And I actually experienced that when I had Lyme disease in 2004. And I still, to this day, have to maintain a very high level of connection to the living energies and to keep my immune system at a state that continues to process that experience. And so that's 22 years later.
Yeah.
But it's a really good reference point for you.
That makes sense because like last night I didn't sleep well, and I went out and was very active and had the symptoms. Not at all near as strong, but I was like, oh wow, this is really crazy. But it speaks to your point, really, what is required, the level I need to be at.
In a way, that's a blessing, because it's unequivocal, and it motivates you.
Yes, for sure.
Because you can it's really dramatic to see when the symptoms come up and what state you're in where they go away.
And if I could add one more thing,
Sure.
and so there's this like peeling and healing and all this, and I was had a little bit of fatigue today and had a call with a client, which I don't have him anymore. And I just jumped on the call and all of a sudden had this
a subconscious thing like, oh man, I'm not really in the mindset here, and I'm concerned about, like, I never want to do harm in my calls. It's just coaching, but I still don't want to do any harm. And instantaneously, I went into hives.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I feel like my body is just, and everything is like on like high alert. I think everything's game right now.
Yeah, so again, it's a blessing to have such like dramatic evidence. And it's a struggle. It poses challenges physically. But it helps you decide at any moment where to put your attention and your, I want to say, devotion,
Yeah.
your right. And it makes you choose, and it changes how you live your life.
Yeah, like the options are narrowing how I can live my life.
I know, and it sucks in a lot of ways.
Little bit less casual in some ways.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of hard to go out to a bar.
Yeah, right.
If there were bars without any loud noise, that would be fine.
Yeah.
But you do find out, what your body and system tolerates, and it gives you a good reference point right away. So it's very dramatic. So congratulations, and I'm sorry.
Yeah. Thank you, Sarah.
Did everyone follow that?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, what are other experiences that are parallel for you that parallel Carolyn's experience?
Yeah, I had something happen today. It was very interesting because and it really took me a while to reflect on it, and this discussion helped it as well. It was I had to go to a Western medical facility today, this morning, which I don't really ever go to, or not for since my son had an injury a couple of years ago. And I was struck by how little living energy there was in the whole facility, like amongst the people working there and whatnot. And I just stayed in my grounding and centering. And I mean, I was having a fine time, but no one else was really having a fine time. It was very sad, actually. And I got back to my car, and then it really dawned on me. I was like, wow, it was very void of living energy. And then I think that was a cascading effect of how much of a sacred life I actually live now. And it was like really, it was like an exclamation point because I spend so much time in nature, and like you were saying, like your choices become more limited. But I've actually loved that. I love saying like I was at a graduation celebration. I was like, well, I got to go home. I've got my spiritual class. Like, and I was excited to be able to leave and come back and center and prepare for this. And so it's been really lovely for me.
I know. I really appreciate living like this too. Not many people around me do, but I do.
Yeah. Yeah, my friends don't like it anymore. Funny. The other thing I wanted to share, it goes back to a teaching that came through in the last series, and I'm going to paraphrase what you said, so please correct me, but it was something like ground before you have a thought or feeling. So when you said that, I had a pretty big resistance to it because my coaching hat came on, and like, you can't tell someone how to have a feeling. Their feelings are their feelings, right? So but then I noticed if something came up, I would have a thought, and then I would have a feeling. And so I took the opportunity over the last several weeks to really, when that happened, to ground like immediately, like if I was standing in the kitchen or wherever I was, and then all of a sudden the thought and the feeling shifted, and I was like, oh wow, so this was all just part of the old conditioning, part of the old programming, patterns, beliefs. And so it's become a very powerful tool to, or not more than a tool really, but it's been very powerful to notice the thoughts that come in immediately, the feelings that come in immediately that are not necessarily true to my being. They're just been conditioned in. So that's been pretty profound for me.
Fantastic. I mean, that's a foundational teaching that I have had a hard time getting across to people. You really, watching that happen, you have your thought, you have your feeling, you have your body experience, and then you ground, and then you find something more truer, more aligned, and it more at ease. And to me, that's the constant returning that we can do that brings us back. And the more we practice that, the more it becomes part of our way of being. But to notice that and then appreciate it, that has been really hard to get across to people.
Yeah, I understand. Like I said, I definitely had a resistance to it, and I don't even know why. But when I first heard it, I was like, and then, like I said, when I started to really feel into it, it's been beautiful. I've been really enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, it feels good to come back to more truth. And, to bring in the teaching from the other night about being gentle and allowing time and space for that return instead of pounding at it, like expecting yourself to be able to come back right away, but instead giving yourself a little time and space and gentling back into your grounding is really important these days because the intensity and density of the heavy energies is more than has ever been on the planet before. And so is the light, but the minute you take your attention outside of yourself, you're in it. And it's really hard to recognize that and know that you need to return. So it's a constant practice of returning.
Yeah, and the past couple of days, I guess it's just been really dense because I noticed myself getting pulled into things and starting to get carried into it. And that was, again, another opportunity for me to stop and ground. And then it was like a completely, I was like a completely different person. Like, instead of being caught up into that, I just was like, well, nope, that's not for me. I'm not investing in that at all. And it completely changed it.
Wonderful. Oh, that makes me feel so good that someone has heard me.
I try to be a good listener,
Yeah.
Sarah.
Thank you. You know how it is as a teacher
I do.
when a student really gets something, it feels really good. Oh, thank you. Okay, continue on. What else do we have here? What do you know that you didn't know a month ago? Nothing? Come on. Why so much silence?
It's Renee. My silence was about letting the words come to describe something I've known, and it's become so acutely obvious, which is, and it's really basic, it's very essential. And you've said it many times, Sarah. You've said your body is the safest place to be. And for as much as I can tell myself that and share it with my clients, I have become, in the last 2 weeks especially, so aware of how I can go over to the other person and start to leave myself. And I'm realizing that that is, and this isn't rocket science, that is, it's the greatest source of the anxiety I feel. And it's a signal that I've left myself and I'm into this other person's energy and kind of swimming around in their world. And I've been
very humbled at what I know intellectually and how I actually live it. And my sessions have been shifting. I'm much more at ease, and I want to say this in the right way. I care very much about my clients, while at the same time, if they're upset or grieving or sad, or it's not that I don't care about that. It's that I can be present to that and witness it and still be in my really beautiful space within my being. And I mean, I look back at the years, and this is such a basic teaching, Sarah, but I'm just now getting it on a really, really deep level. And it's been very humbling. And I'm also aware of how messy and ungraceful I can be throughout this whole process, and how I can take a plunge into self-loathing because of that, rather than go, oh, well, of course it's messy. Of course I'm ungraceful. This isn't like laying around and being fed bonbons all day. This is really, it can be really challenging at times.
Yeah, but I'm so glad that you're finding that space now. Yeah, part of that is feeling responsible for uplifting, fixing, helping, serving someone else, and forgetting about yourself. It's a subtle level of codependency, but not exactly codependency, but a subtle level of it. Because it's not exactly it, because it's actually not coming out of a personality issue. It's actually mixed with a spiritual, heartfelt desire to serve humanity. So I would put codependency in a psychological realm. You know what I mean? Like psycho-emotional realm. But in the spiritual root, when you're oriented towards the spiritual and you're yearning to be in that spiritual space, and there's no opportunity for it in our culture. And so it turns into the subtle aspect where, okay, I can't talk about it. I can't do magic here, you know. So subtly, I'm going to use my energy to try to uplift, fix, or shift someone and get very involved with their energy. And very often that means sinking with their energy rather than raising it. But it has a spiritual root to it. But because our culture doesn't have a pathway, you know, volunteering or you know what I mean, there's like some ways, there are practical ways that you can serve, quote, humanity, but that still doesn't satisfy this deep mission that we have to live on behalf of all humanity. And so, you know, it's got this other layer to it that's beyond, quote, normal codependency. Did that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense.
And it's very challenging to work with. And that's why grounding in the body is kind of the best place to land for that. Because you can circulate the energies within you and become a glowing space, a glowing environment that satisfies the need to serve and to heal and to help while still being engaged with people. You know, if you wanted to go sit and glow on a mountaintop, you could do that. But if you're going to be engaged with people, the best place to do it is from within the body. The body is temple. And so we needed a pathway to give that mission within us a place to be. So if we're connected with Mother Earth, Father Sky, Sun, and circulating wholeness, that gives a pathway for that yearning to serve. And it takes it into a higher intelligence and the universal spirit, but it is a pathway for it. Can each of you feel right now how that's resonating for you, how deep your desire is to serve and be a healing, glowing presence here? How strong it is in you?
This is Michelle. And I do feel that. And I know in my being what you were just expressing is true. And it feels authentic in ways that other experiences in life for me have not been. They may have had little seeds of authenticity, but it wasn't a stream of authenticity. And this is, I just, in the very resonance of my being, I know this is true. And I feel relieved that the seeking is over and I'm let me see if we can get them. In this experience of embodiment, is true service.
I'm just letting your words waft through the group. They carry a lot of. Hey, how is this landing with anyone else?
I'll share something else that kind of came up after Renee spoke and we kind of went in that direction a little bit is I had a client yesterday and anyway, she was talking about being in a group thing and she was upset with herself because another person was telling a very heartfelt story about their origin and she said she felt like detached from it. And I was actually happy for her and just said like you were keeping your energy within your being and you know, there's a whole discussion about, well, if you're empathetic and whatnot. And then the words came to me and I just said, look, my heart is open, but my heart's not going out to you. And as soon as I said that, I was like, oh, that's what I learned in Sarah's group. I was like, and I told my client, I said, 3 years ago, my heart would have been going out to you in a big way, but now my heart is open, but it's not going out to you. So I thought it'd be fun to share that after the discussion we just had.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. I like it. And that's true. And that's very true because what we have been trained to associate as empathetic or sympathetic is really quite draining and filled with heavy energy. And it's a lot to learn a new direction in that.
Yeah, it was pretty eye-opening. I was like, wow, you know, what a journey.
How did she take it?
She's very intellectual, and so I think she tries to understand in her head, and you know, we kind of went into the body. I think she opened to it in a pretty nice way eventually.
Your words definitely conveyed the energy of it, that your being knew that.
Yeah, like I said, that wasn't premeditated. That just came right from guidance, just right out of my mouth. And as soon as I said them, I was like, oh yeah, I really do believe that. It's really true.
Oh, very good. Yes. See, this is everyone's authenticity is really growing here, and really being able to speak your realization.
Very briefly, one other something else I'm really aware of since the training is I am now, instead of, well, I see Bethany at 10 a.m. and I need to get ready for Bethany and then so and so at 11. I'm letting go of that, and I'm aligning and I'm grounding, and that is what prepares me. So it's a really different mindset and approach, and it's making a big difference.
Wonderful. Oh, good. So I'm assuming your sessions are really changing quality.
Yeah, and I'm not feeling exhausted. I'm actually seeing fewer clients every day now, and I'm loving it. I'm actually loving it. It's great.
Oh, good. And that energy will radiate out and start attracting the type of clients that want and need what you have to offer. It'll start refining and refining and refining, so that you end up meeting with the people that you need to meet with and they need to meet with you.
This is Lakshmi.
Okay, Lakshmi, I'm going to say something before you talk. I hope you have not been spending all this time figuring out how you are not like everyone else.
Not like everybody else.
Like what I'm talking about, like, oh no, that's not me.
Oh,
go
no.
Ahead. Okay, go ahead.
No, I was reflecting on you know, the yearning to help, and when you brought it up, it kind of reminded me that even outside of practice, there's an equal amount of fear that comes with it for me, where I may be in a position to help, but I'm equally scared that it'll backfire and get me in trouble.
Right.
And as everyone was talking now and I was still processing it, it was so clear how it's so entrenched, old conditioning, and how much I have to work on it. But it just that realization that it's an old conditioning, was as grateful for that. I've just been reacting and responding to that fear.
Oh, how beautiful. What a opening.
Thank you. And I think there has been, over the last few weeks, based on our Monday classes and the energies, there are times where I'm feeling a lot more disconnected, almost floating away. And sometimes I go into this deep criticism of myself, but I'm catching it faster than I did before. And there's still surprise that I'm getting into that criticism even after this awareness about the old conditioning with the energy practice.
Yes, and it's okay, you know, in those Monday classes, if you find yourself just journeying away. Let yourself. Don't worry about staying present and listening. Your being will guide you into a space that will allow you to receive what the teachers are bringing in. Okay. But yeah, so we have realization, and the breakthrough is just wonderful. I mean, that's really, once that happens, then you know you're eventually going to embody that. But the way the conditioning has been so deep, and it really has been for over 5,000 years, so having the realization starts breaking that up, but then because of the density that we're in, it does take lots of practice and lots of working with the living energies to make a permanent shift. And we need to be really patient with ourselves and just kind of see, do the practice, do the practice, do the practice. And then one day, all of a sudden, you'll see that that becomes your default place instead of the place of being critical. Okay, so it's because of the density of our culture that just having the realization doesn't mean you are able to fully embody it. It has to be nurtured by the living energies. The mind can't nurture it.
Okay.
Your mind will just tie it up in knots even further. But the living energies will take care of it. Okay. So hopefully that just adjusts your expectation about it.
It okay. does.
Okay.
And I'm noticing a little bit more opening over the, you know, since our last, ever since our training started. Which is also for me something new, allowing that, even the little bit, to open up, which Wonderful. I wouldn't have been open, would have been very resistant to before.
Yeah. And what you said at the beginning about helping and being afraid that it's going to backfire on you, that's very real. The way, and there's, it's very real because of the way the conditioning works in our culture. So it's easier for someone to blame someone else for something than to take responsibility for their own self-regulation. It's just a pattern in our culture. And so if you happen to be the one that steps up and tries to help, you'll probably be the first one that gets blamed. And, you know, there have been many times when I've wanted to help, and I've even like discussed it with Ken at times, and I wait. I ground, I let the energies guide me in the timing of something, of whether I step in or I don't step in, how I can be helpful to someone I love or, you know, I'm involved with, and even with the teaching with these groups. I come back to my grounding and the guidance, and it will show me what the teaching is going to be, how much I can share, and how to help. You know, my goal in all, every class is to help people attain the more subtle realization and subtle experiences that they're craving. And so there's a lot of guidance from the living energies, even in your work situations or your friend situations. I used to be the person, that would be the first to call if someone was having trouble. And I don't. I wait until it's the right timing. And I know that by my connection to my intuition and the living energies. So it takes you out of that overwhelmingly strong desire to help and brings you back into balance so that you do it in the wisest, most optimal way possible. Not guaranteeing that you won't get hurt by it, by the boomerang, but it does bring it into balance with your being so that you're operating from a place that is integrity for yourself.
Thank
Were you able
you.
to follow? Could you follow that?
I did. Yes. The divine timing is what I forget. And grounding, waiting, and getting some guidance is probably what I'm forgetting. But thank you for even validating that this is a real thing. I kind of thought I was just being extra fearful all the time.
No, it's real. It's very real. And you can be fearful from based on experience, so the experiences you've had. You've been burned a few times and then you're going to be afraid. I can be over enthusiastic about things. So I watch myself. If I have a lot of energy around something and I say, oh, you know what? I got to come back into balance and see what the real wise thing to do would be here, to do here. And so I use that strategy.
Thank you so much.
So in your peer groups, thank you for respecting the boundaries of how you've been leading them, because I wanted you to have a really good foundation in the opening practices of relaxing, releasing, bringing people into the circle gently, and really feeling what that feels like. So share some of that experience with what you've been seeing about this one little section of guiding people in the ceremony, the beginning part of a ceremony.
Well, this is Cindy, and I've commented on this on the page, but I continue to be amazed by how naturally it unfolds. Like, it's a very ordered progression, which I never thought about or really experienced in that way when I've been sitting, with our full group or sitting by myself. I just hadn't organized my thoughts around it. So I'm just really grateful to really see the steps that you just walk through one after the other to get where you want to be.
So what are you seeing about those steps? Share some of that.
Well, there's a natural unfolding. There's a national progression. One takes you into the next. The more I can stay relaxed within myself, I can feel the guidance come through of where to go next or where to guide next. So it certainly is not like an intellectual exercise. It's very embodied, being in the moment, and a lot of trust, right? Trusting that one step will unfold. So each time I do that, I feel like those things are reinforced, which just, and I feel it makes me feel excited and intrigued and grateful.
So are you finding you're able to trust the living energies? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Oh, yes. That is really well said. And when I heard you say that, I also think there's been carryover into my personal life as I, you know, make my way through a day. And the more I can relax and the more I can trust that what needs to get done will get done. And the things that don't need to get done will fall to the side. And I think that's also carried over. Like we were talking earlier about how much more in my life I'm living from a different sacred viewpoint.
Mm-hmm. So when you're guiding a ceremony and you take it to a certain point where the group feels like it's coming together, where do you feel like you want to take it next?
So that's a good question. So when I've worked now twice with my group of people who've never done this before, I can feel everyone relax and come into their body and start to feel, you know, they're feeling their feet. And I want to then continue into a deep grounding. But my intent was to stop there. And it feels like I bump up into that. Like this is where I need to stop. So we do. But I want to continue the grounding and I want to bring it into flow and activate the field. I can see that those are natural next steps. When I'm with our peer group and the full toroidal field forms and I can feel the access, I feel curious about what would naturally unfold next if we took the time. And again, if I, as the facilitator, if I were open to either something coming through, but I'm not. I'm very clear, like we are just getting to this point and then we will stop here. So I can feel again that things would unfold and either a teaching would come through or an attunement or guidance or something, a healing, something. Mm-hmm. I could see that that would be next.
Okay. Can other people share where they are with this too? And Cindy, I really appreciate you respecting that boundary of taking it to a certain point. And the only reason that was there is so that you could experience what you're experiencing about this beginning part of the ceremony. We really need to know that, or else the rest of the ceremony is not going to unfold.
And Sarah, that was very clear to me. Like it really highlighted, because I was not in any way getting ahead of myself, like it really highlighted what was happening on a step-by-step way and then a solid, clear endpoint, which I think was nice. As much as I could feel like, oh, this would be so great, or the people who were new were expressing that they wanted, you know, to do this more. And I'm like thinking, oh, if you only knew what could come next. But yeah, it felt good from a learning and practicing standpoint. So thank you.
So is there room to take them into a deeper experience of their roots and connection with Mother Earth?
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yes. Yes, there would. But again, I didn't want to get ahead. Mm-hmm. So
that wouldn't be getting ahead if you spend more time helping them deepen that experience. Like, do you work with the tailbone?
Yes.
Okay. And then have them kind of express how they feel with the roots connecting and the energy connecting with them and how that makes them feel? Are they able to express that in your session?
So that once the root, our tailbone's connected, our feet are connected, we have like this tripod. That's where I stop. And yes, they are able to express. They start to feel like they're in flow. They use that word that they have really returned to themselves, or they don't really have words. They said, I've never experienced anything like this. Yeah, and just expressing that they would like more of it.
So this would be the place where deepening the relationship with Mother Earth, leading towards that sense of being held, and then working with the elements. Do you work with the elements already in this or not? I don't remember.
Not with this group, with the peer, with our peer groups, yes. But I've not with the new group.
So, I would say that would be a great place to move on to.
I would love that.
Is anyone else here working with people that are not familiar with a ceremonial space?
I am. It's Fran.
What's happening?
Well, I've also had two sessions a week apart. And although there are two people in the group, the first week, one of them forgot about it. And so I didn't go any further than really what Cindy expressed, which was a deep return to the body, relaxation and return to the body, which both people ex really l like the feeling very much, were very much aware that they were quite relaxed. The one who was in the first session would like was expressed that he would like to go further. Did I deliberately do the same things he wanted to know? Did I always do that, or is there more? He wanted more, and he said, I've kept the sessions to half an hour at the most of, grounding and relaxing, and then we, if they wish, which they have, we have a brief, we have a discussion. Mostly, I answer their questions, and he compared it to his habit of taking 30-minute naps, and commented that this lasts so much longer. The benefits of this. And I, of course, I smiled, and there's so many things that I don't say. So I'm really, really glad that you and Cindy, we've heard this conversation that I wanted to go further and root down into Mother Earth and enable them to have the experience of what it feels like to connect with Mother Earth and her energy. And I've not done that. I think I mean, he in particular has commented both times that he's gone into a little spaces of quiet mind. Those are my words, but essentially where he was in that different sort of a place before his mind activated again. He really, really has tried to do that in the past but without success. So that this has been, it's been quite a very learning and I believe humbling experience. I mean, I'm aware of how, I go into these prepared, and I'm aware of so much of their energy shifts. When they're, when someone is in initial performance mode versus, a deeper state, I see, I'm aware of these things, and yet I'm not at all judgy or reactive. It's just so interesting that I have a sense of, this is a little bit like what you experience, Sarah, where so much about the people they're working with, their energy, where they are. And yet it doesn't need to lead to a judgment or any sort of response at the level at which maybe a statement was offered. It's just really, really wonderful to be learning this.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe you've done that much in a half hour.
Why
did you limit it to a half hour?
Well, my own, you might have made a comment about that, but my own sense is that for someone who's doing this for the first time, it's very difficult to stay with it for very long. And that I wondered within myself whether that would be, even that was a stretch.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. And it's clear from, I think for the one person who came, who missed the first session, it would be more of a stretch. And she was comfortable and relaxed. The second one is in a way chomping at the bit. So we will, especially with this conversation, as it feels right, I will feel comfortable going a bit deeper this coming week, next week.
Yeah, you can, and I'm glad you have a sense of their attention span and that you're following your sense about that.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Fran, I want to add, Fran, I appreciate hearing your experience too. My two sessions also were only a half an hour and I was surprised well, but again, things just shifted at their own pace. And then it felt like we were done. So same thing, 30 minutes was plenty of time.
Wow. Okay. I love hearing this. This is the beautiful practice. Okay. Thank you. I'm glad you took the leap. Anyone else working with people who are unfamiliar with the practice?
I did a... Oh, go ahead. I'll wait.
Go ahead.
No, you go. I've been talking a lot.
Mm-hmm. This is Laura. Mm-hmm. And first off, apologies to the group. In my mind, we were starting at 8 o'clock. Yeah, so I showed up just in time.
No. Okay.
Feeling human. I've been bringing it into the work I do with kids and parents and just doing like 10 minutes kind of micro grounding to begin the sessions. It's been interesting. And even I feel like the adults are so dysregulated and overwhelmed in their nervous systems that their children are overcompensating. So we spend some time feeling our feet and our seat and talking about fight or flight and releasing the muscles and the tailbone. The response I've been getting from the parents is that they really appreciate it. I think the kids get a little bored. The other night I had two parents doing that at the start of our work, and I asked them at the end of our 30 minutes where we had talked about other things, what was the takeaway, what they found the most helpful, and they said, the relaxation exercises.
So are you doing art therapy with the kids? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, that's what I do.
And so a session is a half hour, a normal session for you?
No. The session is like 45 minutes to an hour. But in the beginning, the parents and the child talk together and we work on skills and grounding. And so that's usually our time for 15, 20 minutes where we're doing a check-in. And then I work independently with the parents in separate consultations for 30 minutes.
Mm.
And that's where we're doing some work for them to learn some skills to hold some space.
Right.
Yeah.
That's beautiful weaving this in. Kids, well, first of all, the parents probably need it more than the kids.
Yes.
And, you know, the kids can ground in 60 seconds.
Yeah.
Right. If the parents are relaxing, the kid, you'll see the kids relaxing more. Does that happen for you?
Absolutely. And it's the work is when the dysregulation happens at home and the kids are in their emotional scoops and the parents become anxious and dysregulated and the kids become overwhelmed. Their nervous systems become overwhelmed. So I'm really focusing on holding the space, the parents learning how to drop into their seat and be present. And I had a parent that I've been working with for about a year and a half. Finally, it clicked, and her son, who really has big, big emotions, instead of going into her problem-solving mode and trying to fix it or overtalk, she sat with him and just softened and was present and calmed her body and relaxed her body. And he was able to go through big, big emotional waves in a way that they had never experienced together. So, yeah.
Gives me chills.
It's a blessing.
And just feel how profound that is for the work you're doing. If you can teach parents to do that, the kids are going to get it.
And it's shifted my work. It actually was something that I taught, but I don't think until this process, this program, did it really click on the level of importance of that. Like, it just became the foundation of what needs to be done. So I'm really shifting the approach with the parents to be way more foundational. Yeah. Thank you.
That just makes my heart feel so good.
Me too.
It almost brings me to tears because you're working right at the source of the pain that the kids are going through. And that is just a beautiful blessing that you're providing.
Thank you. I feel so supported by the guides and so supported by our circles. I'm just profoundly grateful because I call on y'all. So thank you.
Thank you. Cindy, that must relate to some of the stuff that you do when you work with kids.
No, I have not been able to successfully weave it into my work at all. In part, I'm listening, Lord, you speak. In part, it's the settings I was worked in and the expectations. In part, it's the energy of that. And I know that I am in a back way working with the whole unit's energy, but I've done a little bit of grounding with a couple of my kids, and it just looks different. It's not what we do here. But so I'm feeling intrigued and inspired listening to that. So we'll see.
It definitely gives you a a way to format your practice if you're still going to be working with the autistic kids and the parents, that can be a very unique way that you can approach it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think where I worked before with, like, to work with the parent directly would be sort of unheard of because of insurance mandates and whatnot. But now that I'm on my own, I'm not bound by that. I'm realizing that it's freeing. So I can really be creative in a different way, which would be lovely. Yeah, thank you for sharing.
For me, a couple of things. One is, I was trying to remember when I made this decision, conscious decision. It might have been around the time our training kicked off with the intensives. But I made a conscious decision that with clients, I would change how I prepare, kind of like what Renee had commented on earlier, that I would sit and ground, which I always had done that. But this time I made this decision to tune in to the frequency of the session. I was like, why not? This is the same thing as a sacred circle. So I started doing that. And what came right away was some clients needed like a very deep relaxation. So even with some of my more established clients, I'd say, hey, we're just gonna drop into a deep relaxation. It might go for the whole session. We'll see. And it was beautiful. And then things opened up from that, parts and realizations and whatnot. And it just became a really beautiful process. And I've started to do that, incorporate that more and more. Also, just really encouraging the clients to be grounded as they come in. And then also just really consciously doing some grounding at the beginning, some relaxation and grounding, regardless of whether the intention is for a deep session of that for the whole session or whether we're going to go other places. So that's been pretty beautiful.
Yes, I'm loving how I'm hearing this integrating into everyone's work. That's how it should move forward.
Yeah, that's the realization I had. I'm like, why aren't I doing this? And so it's been really, really beautiful. And I've got friend groups. We haven't established, it's in the works, but it didn't have a formal meetup yet. But I decided I really wanted to try to do one before this call tonight. So I enlisted my kids to do it. So, but here's the thing, they do have experience grounding. I used to listen to your meditations with them, usually your short 11-minute one, because I thought that was their attention span, and I would make meditations for them, but they haven't really been doing that for the last couple of years because they're in the deep part of the teenage rebellion type thing. So we sat down on Tuesday night to do it. It didn't work out that well. My daughter is in charge and she had a very strict time limit and had to be someplace. And then, my goofy son was just, making all kinds of noises. But I'll tell you what, I think this was the beautiful thing about having a thought or a feeling, but then grounding, because as I was relaxing and I felt really relaxed, my inclination would have been to be really frustrated at them and to say, like, I thought you were going to do this with me and we were going to, take this seriously. But I'm just like, no, I'm just going to ground deeper. And I was in a really beautiful place. And I think my daughter thought I was in a trance or something. But I was like, and then I said, like, tell me about your experience, Seal. And she said, nothing changed. And then I asked Leonardo and he said he was snoring. So he was pretending he was asleep. So that's where that went. But and then, part of my frustration is like, oh, I'm not going to do that with them again. But I'm like, no, I am. We're doing it three times. That's the commitment. And we're gonna see how it evolves over, time number two and time number three. So.
That's great. When I do it with my grandson, he tells me that he's not feeling anything. And meanwhile, his energy through his feet is just like you know, a million kilowatts. But he won't admit it.
Yeah, I think she was the same way, because I was next to her and I could really feel she was connecting in, but she didn't want to share that she was relaxing. So that's
yeah, and with younger people, their connection is actually stronger and more vital, and still and not as closed off as adults. So they usually have easier access to the energies, and it might not even feel like more as much of a contrast as it does to an adult.
That's a good point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because they have that going on, even though they're not aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be fun. We'll
yeah.
look forward to hearing more.
Keep you posted.
Yeah. We used to do that with our kids growing up. I mean, we taught them from an early age, just progressive relaxation. Then they took over and they would guide us through relaxation until I'd be in bed with one kid and Ken would be in bed with another, and we'd be both asleep and they're still awake, but they guided us through the relaxation. And then there'd be times when they have their friends over and we'd hold hands in a circle and get the energy going, and they would enjoy it. And then they would say, "Oh, that was weird," you know.
Yeah.
But they experienced it. Yeah. So, good. That's great. Okay. How about anyone else? How are you bringing it in?